Well, hallelujah. We're talking about miracles. Amen? It's been, I don't know, Helen might know better than me how long we've been talking about miracles around here today. Since our anniversary in April, mid-April, Helen, and we, the end of April, and now we're approaching the end of June, so we're coming up on 2 months of talking about miracles, understanding miracles of the Bible, amen? Hallelujah. Today we're going to be talking about miracles over Satan and demon powers. It is a miracle. Jesus said it is a miracle. Every time a demon is cast out of a human being or bound away from a human being, Jesus himself said it is a miracle. And we're going to see that today. Demons are messengers of Satan. Now, in the King James Bible, the word demon isn't used. It says devil or devils. But when you look the word up in the original Greek, it says demons. There is one devil. His name is Satan. And there are many demons. Amen? And Satan's demons are disembodied spirits. They're alive now and they will live forever. Not in the earth, not in heaven, but in the pit. In Revelation chapter 21 through 15, we find where the angel will come and lock Satan and the beast and the false prophet in the pit. And all that demon cohorts will be bound there with them. But for the time being, we still have to deal with demon spirits in the earth. Now, there's many religions that will tell you today, philosophies that will tell you today, that the subject of demonology is archaic. It's old-fashioned. We're too advanced. We have computers now. There can't be demons in the earth. I don't know where in the world that comes from. Amen? Hallelujah. One world-famous evangelist even said, well, there are demons in the earth, but none in America. What are there, demon barriers along the Mexican and the Canadian border that demons can't get through or over? There are no demons in America? The same demons that Jesus dealt with in the earth are in the earth today. I've cast unclean spirits out of people. Some of you may have. If you have, it's very possible you cast the same spirits out of people that Jesus cast out of people. They're still in the earth. You hear people tell the devil, come out of him and go back to hell. Well, number one, Satan can't get into a human being. He lives in a body. He's not disembodied. Satan doesn't go into people. His demon spirits do. They're disembodied. That's how they can get into a human body or into an animal body. But they don't have to go back to hell either because they've never been to hell. They're going to go to hell in Revelation chapter 20. But they are here in the earth. The same spirits that Jesus and the apostles dealt with are still in the earth today. And they're not just hanging around the Sea of Galilee in Israel. They move all about the earth. The Bible says when they're cast out of a person, they go to dry, waterless places seeking rest where they find none. Sounds like Vegas to me. Okay, that went over like a lead balloon. I used to live in Las Vegas, Nevada. I went to a Bible school in a church in Las Vegas, Nevada. I attended a Bible school there for a year and a half before I transferred to Rhema Bible Training Center in Tulsa, Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. I'm telling you, Las Vegas, Nevada is as demon-possessed as any city in the world. Lester Summerall, my pastor, for the last 15 years of his life, he's been in heaven about 8 or 10 years now. Lester Summerall was a true apostle of God with all the signs following, with a supernatural ability to raise up churches. Lester Summerall rose up 2,200 churches in 220 nations during nearly 70 years of ministry. 2,200 churches in 220 nations. He only missed putting churches in every nation of the world by 9 nations. There's only 229 nations in the world. He planted 2,200 churches in 220 nations. And he said, next to Calcutta, India, Las Vegas, Nevada is the most demon-possessed city in the world. There's no demons in America? There are demons in America. They're missionaries of Satan. They're messengers of Satan. They're sent to contend with. the body of Christ and the people of the world. They're sent to harass and to destroy God's family. Paul said the thorn in his flesh, we all know about Paul's thorn in the flesh. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 12:7, it was a messenger of Satan. It wasn't sickness or disease. He said it was a messenger of Satan. A demon is what he said. It was a messenger of Satan sent to buffet me so the revelation God was giving me of His Word could not be exalted in the earth. But it didn't work, did it? Paul wrote 3/4 of the New Testament. It's still the best seller of all time. Hallelujah. Paul didn't know it. He ended up on the New York Times bestseller list for about 100 years, did he? Amen? And he said his thorn in the flesh was not blindness, as some people teach. You go read it. It says it's a messenger of Satan. Demons are sent as messengers of Satan to harass believers in the earth. Unbelievers as well, but I'm talking to believers today. Amen? In the book of Jude, Jude has just one chapter and about 22 verses. In verse 9, it says that even Michael, the archangel, would not contend with Satan over the body of Moses, but rather he said, the Lord rebuke you. But he wouldn't contend with Satan. Satan comes to contend with believers. Didn't Paul say in Ephesians 6:12, he said, we wrestle not with flesh and blood, but with demonic principalities and powers, the rulers of the darkness of this present evil world, demon spirits. They're here. They're in the earth. And we have complete authority over them. And if you'd go to Mark chapter 9, I'd like to show you something. We have the authority to cast them away from us and to cast them away from other people, to cast them out of other living human beings, and we can even cast them out of animals. Demon spirits seek embodiment in human beings. If they can't get into human beings, they'll go into animals. They're disembodied. They're looking for a body to express themselves in the earth. And I want you to see what we're going to read here in John chapter 9, that Jesus said every time an evil spirit is cast out of someone, it is a miracle. It's a miracle. Mark chapter 9, verse 38, and John answered Jesus saying, are you there? Master, we saw one casting out devils in your name, and he doesn't follow with us. And we forbade him. We told him, stop, because he's not one of us. He followeth not us. But Jesus said, oh, forbid him not, John. For there's no man which shall do a miracle. John's talking about casting out an unclean spirit here. He said, I stopped the man from casting out a spirit in your name because he doesn't hang and run with us. Jesus said, don't do that, John. No man can cast out a spirit or do a miracle in my name that can lightly speak evil of me. For he that is not against us is on our part. Jesus referred to John's reference as casting out a demon as a miracle. And you'd like to know that that word miracle is dunamis. Dunamis. It's a Greek word, and it's the word that we take our word dynamite from. Miracles are dynamite in the spirit realm. The word dunamis means mighty deed of power, strength, and wonder. Jesus said, no man can do a mighty deed of power, strength, and wonder in my name if he's not for us. Jesus said, casting out unclean spirits is a mighty deed of power, strength, and wonder. It's a true miracle that a human being can address another human being and say, come out! And the demon spirit come out and their lives are radically altered. Some people believe that that's just for the disciples, for the original 12 apostles. But that's not what Jesus taught. And we're going to show you that from the Word this morning. But first, I want to go look at some miracle deliverances in the ministry of Jesus in Mark chapter 5, if you would. Mark chapter 5. All believers can cast out unclean spirits. When you encounter them, don't run away from them. Amen? The Church of Jesus Christ is not a referral agency. When you see someone behaving erratically, when you see compulsive human behavior in someone, drug addiction, sex addictions, immoral, perverted behavior, violent behavior. You don't send them to a psychiatrist. Talk to them about Jesus. Talk to them about God's Word. Bring them to a place of confessing Jesus as their Lord and Savior, and then cast that thing out of them. Christians who don't want to talk about demons are going to end up cutting about 200 holes in their Bible. In the New Testament alone. There's over 200 references. Jesus casts spirits out of people all the time. Some people say, we're too dignified. You can't do that in church. We're trying to pay for this building. Jesus cast out spirits in the street, in people's homes, at the beach, in the synagogue. Jesus was never too dignified to cast unclean spirits out of human beings, and neither should we be. There are churches today, Pentecostal churches, they were raised up by praying for the sick, casting out unclean spirits, delivering human beings, miracles following the pastor's ministry. And then they get so big and dignified, they get nice new chairs, nice new carpeting, nice new sound system, and they're drawing even more dignified, even more wealthy people, and they don't want to cast out spirits anymore. They don't want to pray for the sick anymore, because the wealthy and the dignified don't accept that, and we're trying to pay for the building. Forgot where they came from. They forgot how they got there. Amen? We will always cast out unclean spirits when necessary. We are not a referral agency. I'm not going to send somebody to a psychiatrist. When we're in our own building, we're going to get a nice neon sign that I'm going to put in the window, and it's going to say, Jesus Christ, authorized agent. No, it's not an insurance company. It's a church. Amen? We're not ashamed to cast out unclean. Jesus wasn't, and he's our example in all things. They're still in the earth today. We have computers now. There are no more demons. You ever see the things you can do on a computer? Ha! It's just further evidence that there are demon spirits in the earth. 70% of the men in the United States of America are addicted to pornography. 21% of the women in America are addicted to internet pornography. 70% of the men. 21% of the women. It's even in the church. And it gets to be so compulsive. You stop exercising mastery over your own free will and begin yielding to that all the time. Next thing you know, you are a dwelling place of demons. That's how you open yourself up to them. That's why Solomon said, the little foxes spoil the vine. You got to say no right from the onset. I ain't going there, baby. Amen? Where'd I ask you to go? Mark chapter 5, miracles in Jesus' ministry. Mark 5, verse 1, they came over to the other side of the sea and to the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, Jesus, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit living in the cemetery, who had his dwelling among the tombs. No man could bind him, not even with chains. Supernatural strength demons have, just like angels do. He had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he's in the mountains and in the tombs, crying, and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he, the man, ran and worshipped Jesus. And he, the spirit inside of him, the chief spirit, cried with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. Whew. Some demons believe in prayer more than Christians. He's praying to Jesus, the demon. The man ran and worshipped Jesus. The demon started speaking through him. For Jesus had said unto him, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, Jesus asked him, what's your name? And he answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. Now a Roman legion is 6,000 soldiers. That means 6,000 demons. 6,000 demons can occupy the same space at one time. They're not bound to physical space and physical matter like we are. 6,000 in one man. Think he had a little trouble, do you? 6,000 demons? For we are many. He besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. That's the chief demon still praying to Jesus. Don't cast us out. Now there was there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine or pigs feeding. And all the devils, oh, they all 6,000 are praying now. All the devils besought Jesus, saying, send us into the swine that we may enter into them. They knew he's about to cast them out, that man. See, they'll go into animals if they can't stay in the human. Forthwith, Jesus gave them leave. The unclean spirits went out, entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. There were about 2,000 pigs, so they must have had 3 demons each, and they were choked or drowned in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled. They told it in the city and in the country, and they came out to see what it was that was done. And they came to Jesus, and they saw the man that was possessed with the devil and had the 6,000 demons sitting there with clothing on for the first time in probably years and in his right mind, and they were afraid. It freaked them out. We don't need to be afraid of the power of God. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil. They told them what Jesus did and what happened with the swine. And they began to pray to Jesus, deliver me! Is that what they said? No, they said, take that charismatic Pentecostal mess and get out of here. That's what they told him. But they prayed him to depart out of the coasts. And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. He said, I want to follow you, Jesus. I want to go with you. But Jesus suffered him or allowed him not, but saith unto him, go home now to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. So the man departed and began to publish in Decapolis. That word Decapolis means 10 cities. How great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. Now this is a true miracle of deliverance. You know, first people complain that Jesus was cast those spirits out of that man into these pigs that belonged to other human beings and destroyed the pigs. And they say Jesus had no right to do that. Well, I'm going to tell you why Jesus had a right to do that. Because in Leviticus chapter 11 and Deuteronomy chapter 14, God forbade the Jews to traffic in swine flesh. They weren't allowed to eat it. They weren't allowed to breed it. They weren't allowed to sell it. They weren't allowed to have anything to do with it. It's an unclean animal for them in that day. And here these Jews are violating Deuteronomy 14, Leviticus chapter 11, flying in the face of God. Not only were they raising pigs and eating it, they would burn the pigs and worship God. When God said, I don't want anything to do with pigs, I want you to have nothing to do with swine. And they're worshiping God with pigs. Jesus wasn't destroying somebody's property. Jesus didn't tell those demons to go into the pigs. He said, come out of the man. But he wasn't going to protect the pigs because those people were raising them in violation of God's word. Jesus' position was just come out of the man. Go where you're going to go. Do what you're going to do, but come out of the man. And they came out of the man. What a miracle. The man was instantly, radically changed. He went from an absolute nutcase, a raving lunatic who would live in the tombs and cut himself with rocks and scream all night long, living naked in the tombs, to an evangelist commissioned to Decapolis in an instant of time. That's a miracle. Instantly in his right mind. That's why I say we're not a referral agency. We don't send crazy folk to the psychiatrists. We ask them, you want to be free? Because you're really not crazy. It's the devil that's in you. He's crazy, and he has to come out if you want him to go. You're okay. He's got to go. You understand that? All believers can do what Jesus did. John 14, 12, Jesus said, the works that I do, you can do as well. Only greater works you will do because I go to the Father, and I'll send the same Holy Spirit back to you that was upon me, that enabled me to cast out unclean spirits, and he'll enable you to cast out unclean spirits. You don't have to go find a preacher to have a spirit cast out of someone. You do it if you're born again. You just tell him, come out. I bind you in Jesus' name. Don't fight with him. Tell him once. Tell him once and once only. And then start telling him, I enforce your defeat. I'm not telling you again. I told you once. You got no choice. I enforce your defeat in Jesus' name. Do you see that? Jesus didn't argue with these demons, did he? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Go over there if you would. Mark chapter 9 real quick. Woo-hoo. Hallelujah. All believers have authority over demon spirits. And when a believer casts an unclean spirit out of a human being, it's just as much of a miracle as when Jesus did it. And it's a necessary thing. America has demon problems. America has demon problems, but there's much the body of Christ can do about it. Much of the insanity that we're dealing with in the world is demon spirits. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4:4 that Satan is the god, small g, of this world, but the god of this world, nonetheless, he's operating on Adam's earthlies. And until the angel comes and locks him in the pit, we are assigned to hold him in incarceration. Remember Jesus said in Luke chapter 10, verse 18 through 20, he said, I saw Satan get cast out of heaven like lightning. He fell unto the earth. I saw him, Jesus said, when he rebelled against my father gave him the boot, threw him right out of heaven, and he fell like lightning back into the earth. And he said, now behold, I give you power over all the power of Satan and demon spirits, and nothing by any means shall harm you. Satan was thrown out of heaven, trying to take over the throne of God. He was put into this earth for believers to hold in incarceration until the angel comes and locks him in the pit in Revelation chapter 20, 1 through 15. God's done everything he's going to do about Satan and demon powers in this earth. He's left it up to us. It's the authority of the believer that holds him in incarceration in this earth now. It's unscriptural, it's improper, it's wrong, it's unbelief to pray, God, do something about the devil. Because God would just say to you, and even says in his word, I've already done everything I'm going to do about it. You do something. Remember Paul said, I besought the Lord three times about the messenger of Satan, the thorn in my flesh. And what did God tell him? My grace is sufficient for you. God's grace is God's ability in you to do what you can't do without him. God's grace is Jesus. Jesus in you is more than sufficient to deal with the devil. Greater is he who's in you than he who's in the world. Paul never complained again. When God showed him, you do something about the devil, Paul. I've done all I'm going to do. You take authority over him, he will listen to you. That's just how it is. Everybody okay with this? Mark 9:14. When he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude. Miracles in the ministry of Jesus. Miracle deliverances in the ministry of Jesus. He came to his disciples. He saw a great multitude about his disciples. And the scribes were questioning with them. Straightway all the people, when they saw Jesus coming, were greatly amazed. You would be too if you saw him coming. And running to him, saluted him, greeted him. And Jesus said to the scribes, what question ye with them, my disciples? And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I've brought unto thee my son who has a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him. He's an evil spirit. He foams at the mouth. He gnashes with his teeth and pines away or grows weak as if he's going to die. And I spoke to your disciples that they should cast him out, and they couldn't do it. And he answered and he said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? He's saying to his disciples, you can do this. How long shall I suffer you? Bring the boy to me. And they brought him unto Jesus. And when he, the spirit in the boy, saw Jesus, straightway the spirit teared at him, and the boy fell to the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth. Jesus said to his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? He said, since he was a child, Jesus. And oftentimes it casts him into the fire and into the waters. It's a deaf and a dumb and a suicide spirit trying to get him to kill himself. Suicide is not a mental problem, it's a spirit. It casts him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. If you can do anything, have compassion and help us. And Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, don't put it off on me. If you can believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I do believe. Help my unbelief. Help me to believe more. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit and said unto him, Thou dumb and deaf spirit. You see that? This is the spirit causing this boy to try to kill himself. It's suicide. And he addressed it as a spirit. He didn't give him Prozac or Valium. He addressed the spirit and said, You dumb and you deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him, enter him no more. And the spirit cried and rent the boy's sore and came out of him. And the boy was as one dead. He dropped to the floor, insomuch that many said, He's dead, Jesus. He was better off before you got involved. But Jesus took him by the hand. It's not uncommon for things to look worse before they get better when you cast out unclean spirits or take authority over them in prayer. Jesus took him by the hand, lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was come to the house, his disciples said to him privately, How come we couldn't do that? Jesus said unto them, This kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and by fasting. They weren't prayed up and they weren't fasted up. Pretty much Jesus was doing most of their praying for them. He'd go to the mountaintop every night. Amen. It was only after Jesus left that they began to fast and pray on their own the way that they saw Jesus do it. And that's when they really began to take authority over unclean spirits. And if you've been dealing with unclean spirits in a loved one or a friend, a workmate, a brother or sister in the Lord, and you're not getting anywhere with it, give up two or three meals and watch what happens. Give up two. I didn't say don't eat and drink for 3 days. I said give up two or three meals. Give up breakfast, eat lunch and dinner. The next day, eat breakfast, give up lunch and eat dinner. Watch what happens. You're skipping two meals. Something supernatural occurs through fasting and prayer. Just a little bit of fasting, a little bit more prayer, and you watch how demon spirits will obey you in the lives of your loved ones. They'll back off. They'll back off as you increase in power through fasting and prayer. And don't be surprised if you hear from the Lord, give you a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom, or if the discerning of spirits go into operation, the revelation gifts telling you exactly what it is you're dealing with and how to deal with it in Jesus' name, if you'll just do a little bit of fasting. It's supernatural. Amen? Jesus said this kind comes out only by fasting and prayer. His disciples then were just like so many disciples today, powerless and unbelieving when it comes to casting out evil spirits. You still today hear people say things like, it might not be God's will. Oh, that was intended only for the apostles. The day of miracles is all over. I've had more people tell me the day of miracles are all over. They said, Pastor John, miracles are all over. And I said, you're right, they are all over. They're all over the world and you don't get to see them because of your unbelief. You grieve in the Spirit of God and His power won't manifest in your presence. Miracles are not all over. Miracles are not for the apostles only. Amen. It's never God's will for someone to be harassed by evil spirits. Somebody else always says, well, healing's not for everyone. Well, the Bible says contrary. The Bible says in Romans 2:11, God's no respecter of persons. What He wants for one, He wants for another. The Bible says in Acts 10:34, Peter also said it, that God is no respecter of persons. What He wants for one, He wants for another. If Jesus wants one person to be free of demon spirits, He wants all persons to be free of demon spirits. His will doesn't change from person to person. Not in general Bible basics, it doesn't. Amen? How are we doing here today? All believers, go to Matthew chapter 10, have the same miraculous authority as Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. All believers. Let me know when you're over there. We're doing some reading here this morning, aren't we? Matthew chapter 1. But we're getting somewhere. Matthew chapter 10. Thank you very much. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 10, verse 1. And when He had called unto Him His 12 disciples, He gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. And that word all, if you look it up in the Greek, do you know what it means? It means all. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these. Simon, who's called Peter, Andrew his brother, James, son of Zebedee, and John his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew the publican, the tax collector, James the son of Alphaeus, and Lebbaeus, whose surname was Thaddeus. Probably called him Teddy. Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed Jesus. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, Go not into the way of the Gentiles, not just yet, and into any city of the Samaritans. The Samaritans were half-breeds. They were half-Gentile and half-Jew. They would call them half-breeds, not me. Don't go to Israel. Don't go to the Gentiles or the half-Jews just yet. Go to the Jews first. Go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He's given Israel first opportunity because of his covenant with Abraham. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven's at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received this power. Freely give or freely share it with others. Now, the work of all gospel preachers is the same as Jesus. Preach, teach, heal, raise the dead, heal the sick, cast out unclean spirits. Somebody said, I'll leave that for the pastor. I'll leave that for the evangelist. But Jesus left it for you, not just for me. What if you can't find the pastor? What if you can't find an evangelist? And you're dealing with someone in the dirty now and now, the nitty-gritty of everyday life. You've encountered someone with an evil spirit. What are you going to do? Ask him to wait while I get a deliverer? You're going to need to deal with evil spirits. And I'm speaking to you by the Spirit of God today. And I tell you, after today's message, you are going to have encounters with evil spirits, and you're going to have to do something about them. If you didn't know this before, God wasn't holding you accountable. He never requires us to walk in light we don't have. But once we have light, once we have revelation, He requires us to walk in it, and He leads us right into encounters with it. There are people that need you in their life as a liberator, deliverer, in Jesus' name, and you will encounter them. And all you need to do is put your hand on their head. Even if you're talking to them by phone, all you have to say is, Satan, I bind you in this person's life, in Jesus' name. I bind your authority to harass them anymore, in Jesus' name. And don't keep telling them over and over. Tell them one time. Tell them, I'm not telling you again. And then just continue to enforce their defeat. And just tell them, I enforce your defeat in Sister Mary's life, whatever that name might be, in Jesus' name. Don't keep telling them come out. You tell them come out once, and then tell them I'm maintaining my position now by enforcing your defeat. You're going to have to move on because you're through with Sister Mary. In whose name? In Jesus' strong name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What are you looking at me like that for? Hallelujah. This absolutely spooks some people, but not like it spooks the devil. I used to know a little 9-year-old girl, Shelby. She'd talk to the devil and she'd tell him, I bind you and I mean it, bucket mouth. In Jesus' name, you leave my Mimi alone. And the devil had to listen to her. It's not you. The power is in Jesus' name. The power is in the name above all names. Satan will bow his knee to the greater one within you if you'll tell him to do so in Jesus' name. Whether it's somebody just tormented in a small way in their mind, or they're a raving, possessed lunatic, the name is above all names, and it will work if you will dare to use it. I've cast unclean spirits out of human beings and out of animals, and I've seen both radically delivered, their lives radically altered. Not because I'm so special, but because I dared to use the name of Jesus, expecting results. We do a little thing and say, I bind you in Jesus' name, and He does a big thing and performs a miracle and forces those unclean spirits to go. Do you see that? That's why Jesus said, what you bind on earth, I'll back it up in heaven. I'll bind it in heaven. Or what you loose on earth or continue to permit on earth, I'm going to have to continue to permit it from heaven. You see that? Whatever you bind on earth, bind the devil. Jesus said, I'll back it up. I'll back it up. Whatever you loose, or if you continue to permit that person to be harassed, Jesus said, I'm going to have to commit that person, continue to allow that person to be harassed, because I need you to do something about it as much as you need me. We are the final authority in this earth, not God. I said, we are the final authority in this earth, not God. God left us in authority. That's why Jesus said, all power in heaven and earth is given unto me. Now go you and preach and teach all nations. Heal the sick, raise the dead, and cast out unclean spirits. Because you are now my mouthpiece, you are now my hands, and you are now my feet in this earth. Same Holy Ghost that was on Jesus is now upon you. Go to Luke chapter 10. This is for people who believe. You ever hear somebody say, well, I believe Jesus had power to heal the sick, raise the dead, and cast out unclean spirits. And I believe the 12 disciples did, the apostles of the Lamb. The 12 original apostles. I believe that they all had power. We just read right there in Matthew chapter 10. Jesus gave them power. But he didn't give that power to anybody else. It was Jesus and the 12, and that's it. You ever hear that? It's just Jesus and the apostles had that kind of power. Well, that's not only contradicted by logic, but it's contradicted by Scripture. Right there in Luke chapter 10. To those who say it was only for Jesus and the 12. Luke 10:1. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also. Well, there goes that theory. There's 70 more. That makes 82. He sent them two by two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would go, where he was about to go to. Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into the harvest. He appointed those additional 70 and said, pray that I'll send more. Pray that I'll send even more, like I'm sending you. And the 70 returned with joy, saying, I'll jump down to verse 17. I want to go from 2 to 17. He anointed them, appointed them, and in verse 17 they had gone out and they had done what he said. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject unto us through thy name. And he said, like I quoted to you earlier, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give you power. That's that word dunamis. That's that word dunamis. I give you mighty, explosive strength and miracle-working power. This is power of attorney, delegated authority to act in the place of another. He said, behold, I give you dynamite power to tread on serpents and scorpions. That's always symbolic of Satan and demons in the Bible. And over all the power, that word is actually ability. Satan has no power. He has ability to deceive. I give you power to tread on Satan and demons and over all the ability of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Don't be afraid of the devil, he's telling them. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not, that the spirits are subject to you. Say, the spirits are subject to me. He said, don't rejoice that the spirits are subject to you alone, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. You're not going to hell. But the fact of the matter is, the demons are subject to you. Well, that goes to theory that it was just for Jesus and the 12, because there's 70 more. That makes 82. And he said, pray the Lord of the harvest that I'll send even more. And Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, you can put it in your notes. He said, as every man has received the gift of the Holy Ghost, as every man has received the gift, even so minister the same gift one to another. Go out and get people saved. Go out and get people filled with the Holy Ghost and tell them what I'm telling you. You got power over all the demons that are in this earth. The same delegated authority that God gave Jesus, Jesus gave to you. You're a demon-busting, yoke-destroying agent of Jesus Christ in this earth. And the demons must bow their knee to you. They got no choice. Hallelujah. Just ask 9-year-old Shelby, the little demon casting out girl. Born again, filled with the Holy Ghost, and the devil was afraid of her because she knew how to use the name of Jesus. Amen? Go to Mark chapter 16. It'll be the last verse that we look at today. I'm just showing you from the Word of God today that casting out unclean spirits is supernatural. It's miraculous. Jesus called it a miracle. When John said, I came across someone casting out demons in your name, Jesus, and he doesn't run with us, I told him to stop. And Jesus said, don't ever tell anybody who's casting out unclean spirits in my name to stop. because no one can do a miracle in my name and be against me. But he called it a miracle. You are a miracle worker. You can cast out unclean spirits. You ought to be telling the devil regularly, I enforce your defeat over my family. You'll not stop them from being saved. You'll not stop them from living long lives. You'll not stop them from the new birth or from the baptism with the Holy Spirit. You can't stop it, Satan. I enforce your defeat in Jesus' name. He'll obey you. And just like the boy, when Jesus cast the unclean spirit out of him, the spirit of suicide, everybody said, now look what happened. You killed him, Jesus. He's dead. It looked worse before it got better. It's scriptural when you pray for your family and take authority over unclean spirits for it to get worse before it gets better. It's telling you the devil's going loopy. He knows he's got to go, and he's hoping he can talk you out of making him go. You just keep telling him, I told you once, Bucky boy, I'm not telling you again. I enforce your defeat in Jesus' strong name. You can't stay. Brother Hagin, preaching in a pulpit one time that he used to go to in the church regularly and preach for a man, and he didn't like to go there. Because he said, I'd prepare, I'd build up the anointing, I'd pray, I'd spend time in the Word, like I do for you. Whether there's one of you or 1,000, I pray and I prepare. He said, I'd get in that pulpit and the thing was dead. It was just dead. I'd get in, everything I shared with those people just bounced right off them and come right back at me. It was the deadest place in the world to preach. And he said they were the sweetest people. They were so generous and loving and kind. But it was awful to preach in that church. One day through the discerning of spirits, the supernatural ability, it's a revelation gift. It's one of the 3 revelation gifts of the Spirit. We've got them all on tape. If you don't know the gifts of the Spirit, you need to learn the 9 gifts of the Spirit. One of the revelation gifts of the Spirit, they're called revelation gifts because they reveal something called discerning of spirits, went into operation while he was in the pulpit. The discerning of spirits is the ability to see into the spirit realm. God, Jesus, Holy Spirit, angels, demons, spirit horses, spirit chariots, whatever. And he looked up over the pulpit and there was a rafter up there with a big half-human, half-monkey-looking demon sitting up in the rafters. And he said to the demon, he suddenly realized what the problem was in the church. There was a demon up there, and the pastor had no discernment. The people didn't know. He says that it's just the nicest people, but they were ignorant of God's word. There's a big old monkey-like imp of a thing sitting over the pulpit. And Brother Hagin looked down and said to the demon, you come down out of there right now. You have to leave. And the demon spoke back to him and said, I know I do, but I don't want to. Big, powerful demon. I know I do, but I don't want to. Brother Hagin said, you come down right now in Jesus' name. He said the thing just lumped to the floor, like hit the floor like a sack of salt, is what he said. Boom. And Brother Hagin said, there's the door, now go. And the demon said to him, I know I have to, but I don't want to. And Brother Hagin said, I know you don't want to, but you have to. He went all the way down the aisle to the door, looked back at Brother Hagin. Brother Hagin said he didn't say it to me again, but when he looked back the last time, he said it with his eyes. I know I have to go, but I don't want to. And Brother Hagin, go in Jesus' name. He went to the bar next door and it burned down the next night. It burned down the next night. There's no coincidence. Brother Hagin watched him through discerning of spirits go out the door, past the window, into a bar room next door that night. It was that night it burned down. Brother Hagin said it was so easy to preach in that pulpit after that. It was that ugly demon spirit, grieving the Spirit of God, suppressing the anointing of God. He said, that became one of my favorite places to go and preach after that. All of a sudden, they didn't bounce them off. They were being oppressed by that thing, by the presence of evil, grieving the Spirit of God. But he told that little imp, little thing, I know you don't want to go, but you have to, in Jesus' name. And the demon said, I know I do. I know I do. And he knows when you tell him, he's got to go too. Where are you? Mark chapter 6. Did you get anything out of that? Mark chapter 16. Did you get anything out of that? All demon spirits are subject to you. 1 John 4:4, 1 John 4:17. greater is he who's in you than he who is in the world. That's the devil. The greater one is within you. Let me tell you another story that comes into my heart. It's not a story. It's a true narrative about John Osteen, a dream that he had. And he was laying on a hill, a green grassy knoll, down there in Texas one day in his dream. A nice, cool, breezy day. Just laying on a hill. And off in the distance, he saw someone coming toward him. And lo and behold, it was Jesus walking toward him in the dream. He walked right over to John Osteen in the dream. And as he walked towards Brother Osteen, John Osteen said, I saw someone come up behind him. Jesus was dressed in white, and here came a black spot behind him, walking toward him. And just before Jesus got to Brother Osteen, he turned around and put his back toward Brother Osteen and stood there. And the other person kept coming, and kept coming, kept coming. And he said, it was the devil following Jesus. And Jesus began to back away from the devil. Back away from the devil toward me, standing behind him. Just Jesus backing away. And the devil was coming so pridefully, so arrogantly toward Jesus. And Jesus just kept backing away, backing away, backing away. And John started to say, Jesus, don't back away from the devil. Don't back away from the devil. And Jesus kept backing away from the devil until he went right inside John Osteen. Right inside of John Osteen. And when he got inside of John Osteen, the devil looked at John Osteen and ran like a scared fraidy cat. Greater is he who's in you than he who's in the world. God sees Jesus in you. That's all he sees when he looks at you. And that's all the devil sees when he looks at you. If you're born again, you're covered by the precious blood of the Lamb. Greater is he who's in you than he who is in the world. I'm driving this point home today because I'm determined you're going to go home. You're going to go out of this place not afraid of the devil and understanding the devil's afraid of you. He's as afraid of you as he was a little Shelby. I bind you, bucket mouth. Hallelujah. Shelby prayed in tongues, in interpreted tongues. We're out in the car with her one day. We're friends with her, Mimi. And Shelby used to come out on us, little outings occasionally. And I led her to the Lord. Got her saved. Led her to the baptism with the Holy Spirit. And one day she's in the back seat, praying in tongues and saying, I don't have to be mean anymore. I'll be good to my friends. I don't have to be mean. And then she'd pray in tongues. I can be good to my friends. I love my friends. I said, Shelby, what are you doing back there? She said, I'm praying in tongues and interpreting. That's what she was doing, praying in the Spirit and then interpreting by the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit instructing her, you don't have to be afraid to walk in love towards your friends. You can be nice to your friends even when they're not nice to you. It was her tongues and interpretation. I said, Shelby can do this. How much more can you do it? Amen? You're at least three times her age. I just did Terry's face. That was Terry's face. See? Terry went like this. She went. Hallelujah. Where are we? Mark chapter 16. Look what Jesus said in verse 17. We'll close with this verse. And these signs might follow those who believe. Oh, you're in the King James, are you? These signs shall follow them that believe. Listen, it didn't say anything about the 12 apostles. It says those who believe. Didn't it? Do you believe? Are you a believer? In my name they shall cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. They'll take up serpents. They used to get thrown in snake pits as a form of persecution. Doesn't mean you take up serpents. Would you look at me just for a minute? This is not saying take up serpents and handle them to prove you have faith. Because if that's what it means, then the snake handlers, the snake charmers of Burma, have more faith than any Christian I've ever known because they do it with excellence. That's not what that's talking about. It's talking about persecution. He's telling you don't be afraid of being persecuted for the word's sake. Back then they'd get thrown in snake pits. Amen? So the people down in Tennessee need to repent. The snake handlers. The snake handling church of God in Christ. You're not proving how much faith you have. They die, do that all the time, and they keep on doing it. You're not proving how much faith you have. You're proving how presumptuous you are and how ignorant you are of God's word. That's talking about persecution. You get thrown in a snake pit. Jesus said you live through it. Just like Daniel in the lion's den. Just like Paul over there in Acts 27, Acts 28, when the viper came out of the fire, attached itself to him, he just shook it off and kept building the fire. Because he knew serpents had no power over him in Jesus' name. That's what that's talking about. Amen? Not proving you have faith. Amen? If you take up a serpent accidentally, if you drink any deadly thing through persecution, talk about drinking hemlock. That's what they forced them to do back then. It shall not hurt them. But they shall lay hands on the sick on purpose, and they shall recover. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven, sat on the right hand of God, and they went forth. Who did? The believers, the disciples, the believers, and preached everywhere. The Lord working with them, just like he'll work with you, confirming the word with signs following. Can you see that? That's all believers. He said, those who believe. Somebody said that these verses aren't in the original text. Did you ever hear anybody say that? These casting out unclean spirit verses aren't in the original Bible. Let me just give you a quick apologetics lesson, if I may. You just have to just sit there and listen. I want to address the person who said these verses aren't in the original Greek manuscripts. They are. There are 4,200 Greek manuscripts of the New Testament, handwritten copies, from way back yonder, that still exist today. 4,200 handwritten copies of the original Greek New Testament. 618 of them contain the Gospels. Only two of those have these verses taken out. The Vatican did that. The Vatican did that. The Pope did that. By the way, have you heard the Vatican's recent release statement? The Vatican has put out a recent statement on the Pope's behalf. And he said that fundamentalist, Protestant interpretation of the Bible is very dangerous. Because it leads one to believe that they can go to the Bible for help with everyday problems. Terry, let me have that face again. Did you hear that? The Vatican has released a statement saying, fundamentalists, we're the separated brethren to the Catholics. See, I can say this because I came out of the Catholic Church. I'm still a Catholic as far as that's concerned. I use it to hook them. Amen? I use my Catholicism as bait. The separated brethren, the fundamentalist movement, the Protestant belief system is very dangerous because they lead people to believe that you can go to the Bible for help with everyday problems. What in the world do they think God is? Do they not know that he's a father who cares about his children? And that that book is a love letter to them? Instruction for living? Well, so much for the Vatican. Those 618 original Greek manuscripts that still exist, and only two copies are they taken out in the Vatican, took those out, okay? Listen to this. Hallelujah. Jerome's Latin Vulgate. I'll just tell you what it is. It's the first time the Bible was translated directly into Latin, when Latin was the common language of the everyday people. And there's a copy, there's a translation called Jerome's Latin Vulgate. Jerome's real name was Eusebius Sophronius Hieronymus. How'd you like to have your mama hang a handle like that on you? Eusebius Sophronius Hieronymus. They called him Jerome. And he did a translation of the whole Bible into Latin. And there are 8,000 handwritten copies of that still in existence today. It's almost 2,000 years old. Everyone have these verses about casting unclean spirits to that one who says that casting out unclean spirits isn't in the original manuscripts. It is in the original manuscripts. Amen? The Syriac version. That's somebody in Syria in 150 AD did a translation of the entire Bible in the Syrian language. These aren't hard things to understand. The Syriac translation. Somebody in Syria translated it. These verses are in every one of the Syrian. They're in the Coptic. You ever hear of Coptic Christianity? It's believers in Egypt in 300 and 400 AD. The Coptic versions. It's just a language. It's an Egyptian language. They had their own translation of the whole Bible. Every one of these casting out unclean spirits is in those translations. 99% of all the old original Bibles have all these verses about casting out unclean spirits in them. And someone dares to stand up today and says, trusting that someone in their ignorance is going to believe them, that these verses aren't in the original manuscripts. They are! They're in all the original manuscripts. Jesus said, you shall receive power. In Acts 1:8, when the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Jesus said in John 14:12, the works that I do, you'll do as well because I go to the Father, and greater works you will do because I'm going to send the same Holy Ghost that was upon me to come upon you, and the devil will obey the Holy Ghost in you like he obeyed the Holy Ghost in me. Do you believe this today? You have authority if you'd like to stand up over Satan and unclean spirits. Amen. The Lord will work with you with signs following. You do a little thing and tell the devil to go, and God will do a big thing and make sure he does. You do a little thing and bind him in Jesus' name, and God will do a big thing and he'll back it up from heaven in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, I thank you, and I bind the spirit of fear of Satan and unclean spirits from everyone within the sound of my voice in Jesus' name. I decree that you are miracle workers, authorized agents of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you are not afraid of Satan or unclean spirits. He is afraid of you. The rulers of the darkness of this present evil world, demonic principalities and powers, in Jesus' strong name, sent to provoke these people, these believers, to fear, I command you to loose them in Jesus' name. And Father, I ask for a special anointing, a special impartation for casting out unclean spirits boldly in Jesus' name for everyone within the sound of my voice, Father, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, I command you to be free from fear of every unclean spirit in Jesus' strong name. And I decree over you a special anointing, a special impartation to take them on, to take on Satan and evil spirits, toe to toe, nose to nose, face to face, without fear, in your family's lives, in your loved ones' lives, in your friends' lives, and in the lives of those that God sends you to as a laborer. You do a little thing and tell Satan, I bind you, and God will do a big thing and back you up in Jesus' strong name. Do you believe that? There are demon spirits for every sickness in this earth. Every ungodly trait, every false doctrine known to man. Every sickness is not an evil spirit, but many of them are. The Bible reveals that all unbelievers are possessed of Satan to one degree or another. The Bible reveals that believers can be harassed and influenced by evil spirits. Demon spirits can cause dumbness and deafness and blindness and grievous vexation, insanity, mental suffering, uncleanness, supernatural strength, suicide, raging fits, false worship, scriptural error, sickness and disease, torment, deception, lying, enchantment and witchcraft, heresy and false doctrines, wickedness, fear, worldliness, bondage, discord, violence, betrayal, oppression, persecution, jealousy, false prophecy. Demon spirits can teach, Paul told Timothy. They can steal. They fight with one another. Homosexual and lesbian spirits hate each other. Brother Summerall used to see them fighting each other in the spirit. They despise one another. That's why that sin is so despised in this earth. Even Satan himself despises it, and he causes it. They tell fortunes. They can be friendly. They're called familiar spirits 16 times in the Bible. They can go in and out of human beings at will unless they're cast out and rejected. Thousands can enter into one human being or one animal at one time and take possession of them. They can speak. They imitate the departed dead. They must be discerned, tested, resisted, and actively rejected by all believers in Jesus' name. Did you understand that? Hallelujah.